8 out of 10 fictional doctors say that you should start your day the generic live show way. This is the generic live show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, hour 2 of the program. Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as always. It's hour 2 of the program. You can get on in on the hot action. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can actually jump in. You can jump in at any time on Twitch, twitch.tv/genericliveshow. Wow, forgot my own Twitch URL. At twitch.tv/genericliveshow, simulcast to geek-io.net. Wow, I'm forgetting all the URLs today. All the single URLs. twitch.tv/genericliveshow, geek-io.net/live. That's right, live and local. We are a bit local today. What's going on? So Sydney, you know Sydney. Sydney is the place where they don't sell deconstructed coffee. So there you go. But they do have cool, actually, they do have cool tunnels. So that is something, and I wanted to do something a little bit different. We don't do news stories like this. We don't really do kind of science-y stories on this show. We don't really do it, which I don't know why we don't do science-y type stories. It's not necessarily something in our purview, although I don't really know if you'd call this science-y per se, but hey, it's worth a shot. I don't know, I'm playing with my hair a lot today. It just must be the weather. Locked away under... That's the sidebar, is that one. Is the why am I playing with my hair today? That's the new podcast. Locked away! Back to the story. Locked away under the hustle and bustle of Sydney's major train station lines... An extensive network of train platforms, tunnels, and tracks that were completed in the 1920s that have never been operational. Ooh. During the construction of the City Circle and Central to North Sydney Railway lines, additional tunnels and platforms were built in the CBD for the proposed routes to Bondi and the Northern Beaches to prevent disruption at a later date for existing services. Ooh, there you go. The labyrinth extends 1 kilometre in each of the two directions from St. James Station, about 30 metres below Hyde Park, and past the Cahill Express Lane entrance off Macquarie Street. So there's just a random door in the middle of nowhere. This was the first underground stations in Australia, completed in 1926, but the plan was to continue works on additional lines was canned when the Great Depression hit. That makes sense. That would have been around that same time. It was one of the first underground... The site has since led a colourful life, using it as a bomb shelter during World War II, a mushroom farm, a film set, an army training ground, and a dark playground illegally accessed by secret societies who practice witchcraft and black magic. Okay, that last one... I would not believe. I would not believe that last one. Sydney Trains Executive Director Tony Id takes everyone on a voyeur tour of tunnels via an unassuming door that creaks open with a turn of a key in the station's main terminal. There you go. An influence based on a fusion of London Tube and New York City Transit comes immediately in the green and cream coloured tiles on the wall. You know, they're on the wall. It's fabulous. A dusty ghost platform is lined with rows of gumboots organised according to size for those who dare plunge into the wet, dark depths of the tunnels below. Quote, they were built, these platforms, ready to go, and You look around you, you can see old heritage signs that used to be here. The archways are ready to go, the posters to put stuff on the track bed, to lay the tracks, and then the actual platforms, Mr. Iyad said. Armed with torches, we walked out. This is an actual tour, not from me, but I'm projecting here, if you will. It's called astro projection. Y'all should try it sometime. Armed with torches, they walked down a flight of stairs onto the track bed and towards high security level gates, which require a passcode to open. The only way from there to the tunnels is to wade through the corridors in knee-deep water and eventually open the door to the first of several huge flooded chambers. It boasts a dome-shaped roof and a bell. Used to replicate the sound of the Big Ben for a film in the center. Ah, okay, that makes sense. They've used it for a film site. Gotcha. That would be definitely a good film site. Is these mysterious tunnels. An entry on the other side of the room leads a series of narrow passageways that zigzag from one tunnel to the next. It's hauntingly silent. It gets a bit spooky in here, Mr. Elard says. Beware the trolls will get you. And about 500 different hashtags. Why are people tagging things with 500 different hashtags these days? I don't get it. Deeper into the tunnels, thick concrete tunnels are ravaged by thirsty tree roots that have made their way through the earth and agriculture in search of clear freshwater lakes that infiltrate the subterranean maze. Quote, "You don't know true darkness until you've turned on your torches in here," Mr. Yard said. Told people before signaling to us to do so. Colourful life. If the walls of this mysterious underground could talk, they could tell you a spellbinding class. It's had a very colourful life, Mr. Elard said. The St. James tunnels were transformed into a bomb shelter during World War II, with hand-poured concrete slabs about 300 millimetre thick, poured over iron rods and built into this space to withstand explosions from above and within. The shelters were designed to fit 20,000 people and in the event of air raids. Armed soldiers guarded the site throughout World War II, ready to maintain law and order if the masses suddenly sought cover and protection. They were positioned in 10-foot manholes built... Oh, I said manholes. That person with review of a review last hour might actually get up in my grundle. Which, by the way, if you didn't listen to the first hour, that last segment in the first hour, we've gotten rid of Trump Tracker. So there you go. that is something we've gotten rid of. It would have been quite eerie to look up to see a soldier standing there in the manhole staring down with a rifle, Mr. Yellard said. There's writings on the walls as well. I love you, my dearest darling wife, Robin Foreman. The other one says NX227672 PTE RJ DePaul 13742. Another one says. That's a date, I'm assuming. End of the tunnels are met with walls of rubble and exposed steel where the army were instructed to destroy the shelters in the post-war. But they never got that far. The operation was pulled. The bulk of the underground was subsequently preserved. If you look up at the destruction of the tunnels, it looks like something out of a sci-fi movie, Mr. Elard says. You can imagine zombies coming at you wherever you are in here. The eerie setting is one of the many reasons film and television producers and directors are drawn to the area. Its highest claim to fame is when the series from the blockbuster movie The Matrix was filmed in 1999. Oh, The Matrix was filmed here? Well, part of the thing was filmed there. So there you go. The Gladstone Group is often the subject of many rumours. They're a gothic band, a graffiti crew, perform bizarre rituals, and are on the run from the law. Over the last couple of years, they alarmed the place So there are invisible sensors within here that will trigger off alarms to our control center, Mr. Elad said. And we've upgraded security systems, so there's a big steel cage at the only entrance into these tunnels, Mr. Elad also said. The cave clan isn't the only arm of the station's custodians are concerned about. Mr. Elad says the current climate of terror risks has met security has been, where was I up to? I've lost my spot. Why have I lost my spot? Mr. Elad says the current climate of terror risks has meant security has been made tighter than ever before. Excuse me. There we go. Got that sentence out indeed. I'm sorry. I should sit up. My screen is cutting off my mouth, which that's not a great look. The New South Wales Library and Parliament are above, so we just can't risk putting those places in danger. Oh, there we go. Today, the tunnels are used often as a quote unquote playground, and for familiarization training. There are currently no plans to develop the site or reopen the tunnels to the public. I'm very proud of the custodians of this, Mr. Elad said. We have to preserve this. It's part of our history. It plays a significant role in Sydney. By the way, the St. James Station tunnels are open during Sydney Open event in November. There is only a limited number of tickets made available each year. Sydney Trains also running a competition for the winners to go on an exclusive guided tour in August. If you look that up, you'll be able to find information on that. Wow, Sydney tunnels. Tunnels in Sydney. Who would have thunk it? So there you go. There is an audio clip to accompany this story as well. This comes to us courtesy of Megan Palin from news.com.au as well. It looks pretty cool, actually. I'm looking at some of the pictures, and a lot of it looks really, really cool. And the door that goes in is very, very underwards. It's definitely just a green door. So here is that audio clip. It's probably just a slideshow. There's a network of disguised tunnels, and built in 1920s, train tracks and platforms. The rail extension was abandoned in the Depression. An eerie place. From St. Ignatius Kloss to an albino eel. Ugh. The truth seems stranger than fiction. This is just a slideshow. In 1949, there was a mushroom farm. They produced 4,000 tons of fungi. World War II was a bomb shelter. Some soldiers fear that they might have a lack of oxygen, so they wrote messages on the walls. Nowadays, graffiti artists risk hefty fines. Security has been upgraded to prevent that as well. Well, if it's guided tours, then it should be. It should be alright, so there you go. But no, that would be it. There you go, that's a nice little factoid for you. That Sydney has this rich, rich, rich history of guided tours, and I don't know why my phone is vibrating because I turned it off. Oh, the mysterious wonders of a phone doing its own thing. There you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, this next story is a feel-good story of the week. This story, it makes my heart. A bridesmaid just needs to take the cake. Oh, this next bridesmaid... takes the cake. That's yes, I can retire now on that. That's right, my career is over. I've finally done it. I've finally found the the pun of the millennium with that. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. As we continue, it's 10:19. Contact the show at any time. GenericLiveShow@gmail.com. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Of course, yes, you can contact the show at any point you would like. GenericLiveShow@gmail.com. Yeah, we got the email shout out in, and it's in a bumper now, so there you go. You can't avoid it. Here to stay. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So, this story, it has to be the feel-good story of the week, right? This, you know, you hear some stories and you go, you just wanna curl up into a ball and just squee. And I did that today, there you go. So, Jade Neal is the lady's name in question. Didn't let a wedding cake mishap ruin her parade. Her parade? She had a parade? What do people do at weddings now? If you listen to the pre-show of the Generic Live Show, so that would make a whole lot more sense to you. Okay, so it's kind of the mishap that sent even the calmest bride into a fit of hysteria. It would. Knowing what's to come, you would get annoyed too. But it made Jade Neal's wedding cake. But when Jade Neal's wedding cake didn't show up, she managed to keep her cool whilst, unbeknownst to her, a plan was hatched to solve the crisis. Quote, two of my sisters-in-law and a dear family friend made my wedding cake out of Woolies mud cake, pre-made Betty Crocker icing, flesh flowers, oh, I don't know what flesh flowers are, and one of my Haitian cutlery holders. Oh, Jesus. Wow, okay. The Queensland beautician wrote on the Woolworths Facebook page in a post that has been viewed more than 16,000 times. Jeepers, there you go. That's dedication. That is. Wow, alright. The mother of two was upset when she first found out the cake that she put hundreds and hundreds of dollars into was not coming, she told Mamma Mia. Quote, I just found out weeks before that I was pregnant. Phew, Jesus, the plot thickens. And couldn't have a glass of champagne. Wow. So, really, the cake was the next best thing, she said. Quote, I was more disappointed that I'd tried to support a small local business and they'd failed to come to the party. Wow. I paid $500 when we contacted them afterwards about the whole thing. They denied knowing who we were. Boo. No. Boo. That sucks. That really, really sucks. I know that I was talking in the first era about how businesses have the right to do what they want governance-wise, but local businesses also have a contractual right to, you know, deliver goods or services. So, there is also that. you know, that part as well. That's also that's important for business, the independent businesses to do. But thankfully, the owner of Express Beauty says she got to tuck into the next best thing. Oh, everyone loves a Woolies mud cake, she wrote on Facebook a year after walking down the aisle this week. What? Everyone loves Woolies Mud Cake. She wrote on Facebook a year after walking down the aisle this week. Ah, gotcha. See, there you go. So, if you're doing things on the budget, here's some inspo. People are still doing that, by the way. Still saying inspo. Although, I'm one to talk. I do defs. Defs is a good thing for me. Miss Neal said the cake was prepared, quote, between the entree and the main at the reception. Jeepers, that is not much time at all. So there you go. That is some really quick thinking on their part. I had no idea what was going on. They did such an amazing job to whip together something so good so quickly. I was stunned, she said. I think the best part of it all was the mud cake was so popular. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it definitely is very, very popular with everyone, really. Who does not like a good old store-bought cake? Really, like, that is... Cake is one of the... If I may, for 2 seconds, rant about cake. Cake is great. Particularly mud cake, too. Mud cake is definitely great. And to have her friends come up with that so quickly and so on the fly like that, and all the guests were happy too, and it just warms my heart. I love stories like this where something goes awry and people, and one person comes to the rescue. In this case, two people come to the rescue to save a wedding. And I not that a wedding cake would be the end of the world. For either of the people, the husband or the bride. And yes, I jumped to that conclusion because gay marriage is still not legal in this country. But anyway, got to get really close to the microphone for that, and I have to lower my voice a little bit and actually bang the microphone. That would be also great if I could do that. But where was I going with that? Mud cake. Who does? Name me one person on the planet that does not like mud cake. Genuinely. Particularly a Woolies mud cake too, like a store-bought mud cake. I just realized when I go down to the microphone, you can see this spot on my head where I've got a fluffy peacock thing going on. My hair's really long. My hair is really annoying me today. It's not about my hair, it's about the mud cake. Mud cake is delicious. I might have a whole cake tomorrow. If you listen to the pre-show, I had a whole pizza. I might have a whole cake. I can have my pizza and my cake too, or something like that. Anyway, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, that was the feel-good story of the show. Now we're talking about negotiations through... Now we're going to be moving from mud cakes to trade deals. That's right. Australia and the United Kingdom are in talks of what the next move will be after Brexit and the Theresa May election happened and will happen, put whichever one is in the correct spot there. The Theresa May election happened as they transition into Brexit. What will be the next move for Australia trade-wise? As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's a pleasure as always. It's 10:30.
Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's a pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell, Geek.io, GLS. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as always. Sorry, I was distracted. I'm very distractible today. But we're here. We're doing it. We're here, we're queer, get used to it. Or something. However that works. Hey, but again, there's a part of me that just wants the whole show to be that clip I'm becoming self-referential, but just that clip. There was a guy last hour that says that lesbians can't be in superhero movies, and I disagree. But hey, if that random person is listening, genericliveshow@gmail.com, I legitimately want to get your opinion on that, and hopefully we can have a conversation about that rather than you just yelling things out in a random review. So, but enjoy that for what you will. That is what that is, but there you go. So, one massive question that has been, I think will be prominent in 2017, and will continue to be prominent, is what will the UK do next? I mean, with all of the negative stuff that has happened in the United Kingdom, which was a fallout of other things, that I'll be moving swiftly along from that train of thought. But anyway, it's something. What is the UK's next move? It's been a big question on everyone's mind. The Prime Minister, it was over there in London to kind of discuss things with Theresa May. I mean, Australia has always had a good relationship with the United Kingdom, and the ideal situation would be to keep that support network up, is what I would believe would be the smartest move. But how does that entirely work with an EU so, and a United Kingdom so fractured that it's hard to maintain that situation? So here are the two leaders talking about that at a press.
We recognise that as Britain moves to completing its exit from the European Union, we stand ready to enter into a free trade agreement with the United Kingdom as soon as the UK is able to do so.
The UK and Australia are major trading partners and investors in each other's economic success. Our strong and growing trade relationship is worth close to £14 billion. We've both made clear our intention to continue to deepen our trade and investment relationship as the UK leaves the EU.
I just want to be very clear about this. We are absolutely signed up for free trade, open markets. It's the key. It has been the key to our continued run of economic success.
So it looks like they didn't take questions at that press conference, which is bizarro world, because that would have been good. Why? I have another question. Apart from this, why would they do a press conference like that and not ask questions? I know I repeated the word "and" twice then. But again, how would that not be a? Why, I don't know. Why would that not be a thing? So counterterrorism, North Korea, the political isolation of Donald Trump on the global stage, and battle over the soul of the Liberal Party have grabbed headlines on Malcolm Turnbull's week-long swing through Hamburg, Paris, and London. More News 11 or something like that anyway. But free trade deals have been the heart of Australia's Prime Minister's meeting with German Chancellor Merkel and French President, President Emmanuel Macron at G20 EU leaders Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker, and finally with British Prime Minister Theresa May. Turnbull nominated the end of 2017 for Australia-Indonesia deal to be finalised, quote-unquote, before 2019 for the EU free trade deal. For an Australian-Britain free trade deal to be signed as quickly as possible once Brexit is completed in March of 2019. Sijag. It seems to me that keeps changing as many times as I change my underwear in a day, which is once. I know, I realized as soon as I said that wasn't going to make any sense. But you know what I mean? Like, it continues to change, and I don't know what to think of that. But March 2019 is apparently when Brexit is happening. Quote, the more doors to more markets I can open for Australian business to enter, the better. That's my goal. Free trade and open markets are a huge part of our 26 years of uninterrupted economic growth, the Prime Minister told the Policy Exchange think tank in London on Monday. This was last Monday. Well, can't be this Monday because that hasn't happened yet. And standing alongside Theresa May at 10 Downing Street, Turnbull delivered a measured message designed to reassure Brits still grappling with the near-overwhelming complexity and uncertainty of a post-Brexit world. Quote, we move quickly. Australians are fleet of foot. We don't muck around. We are very simple. We move very quickly as the UK will move and will move soon as Britain lawfully able to enter into a free trade agreement, the Prime Minister says. May highlighted the 14 euro billion, that's billion with a B, trade relationship between the two nations and says it was Britain's clear intention to deepen trade investments links once Brexit was achieved. Quote, our Brexit negotiations have started well, and I've made clear to the Prime Minister, Turnbull, that ambitious and cohesive bilateral trade deal with Australia remains the priority of the United Kingdom. Excuse me. But both nations' leaders are, of course, weakened politically and attempting to stare down material strife at the present, which Malcolm Turnbull is just under strife, and Theresa May barely got elected. So that's the strife that they are referring to in that quote there. But both nations are reading the same sentences twice, because that's what I'm doing. And formal negotiations for trade deal cannot begin until Britain has left the EU under the EU rules. However, a working group has set up to, quote-unquote, scope some of the issues that were subject to negotiations, Australia's High Commissioner Alexandra Downer said on Monday. A free trade deal with Britain is likely to cover trade in both goods and services and issues such as digital trade and mutual recognition of professional qualifications, Mr. Downer said. Okay, the subheading of this next one, to cover up a live gas burp on the radio, is the subheading to this is Tea Jam Biscuits and Beer, which should definitely be the name of this show, is Tea Jam Biscuits and Beer. That sounds like a good name for something. Ooh. Last October, the British government launched a Food and Drink International Action Plan. That's a fancy way of saying it, the word diet. That gives some hints to exports plans for a post-Brexit Britain. It intends to sell Australia more tea, biscuits, jam, and beer. Like, we make our own beer. We don't need Britain's beer. Whatever. The plan identified Australia and New Zealand as one of the 9, quote, priority targets, unquote, for an additional 293 million, that's 480 million Australian, in exports over the next 5 years. Quote, Australia offers great opportunity for UK products, unquote, the plan. TJBB plan. The plan. Agriculture could be a key sticking point, however, in negotiations, the point Australia Trades Minister Steve Cubbo acknowledges. Quote, agriculture is traditionally one of the toughest areas, to negotiate is a big part of the agenda here, unquote, he says, adding financial services and education are other sectors the Australian economy are likely to benefit. While Australia will push hard for agriculture trade barriers to fall, Brexit means the end of EU subsidies for Britain's agricultural sector. So Australia's push to knock down tariffs would meet resistance. Of course it will. Quote, the area in which Australians are most influenced for free trade is, I suppose, agriculture products, Professor Wilcox says, of the London School Economics Trade Policy Unit. It would not be clear of what sort of agricultural trade policy the UK will have after Brexit, that is. What is the balance between lower priced imports and the survival of some vulnerable agricultural centres? Even once a deal has been negotiated, it cannot be put into effect until Brexit occurs in March of 2019. Improved access for Australians. So the Australian government also helps. It can use the FTA negotiations to wedge back the door for Australians seeking work visas in Britain. Australians have been caught in the visa crackdown as a result of the British government policy to reduce migration, which has made it more expensive and onerous to get a work visa. I don't know what that word is. Okay. So how quickly could Australia-UK free trade deal happen? Well, and what would it be a priority for Brits? Well, a senior UK insider familiar with Whitehill said after Brexit that there could be capacity issues. One view on that is the numbers. The other view is the contrary view. It gives Australia a easy win, which I don't know about that. It makes sense that the government to push quite hard on Australia's door, the insider said. Okay. Doing the deal. Doing the tea, biscuits, and fun time deal. Fun time deal. I like the fun time deal. The fun time deal, the long and the short of it is that Australia would only turn its attention to the UK deal once the EU, the deal was concluded. Mainly because, well, they can't really do anything, you know, before that point. So why would they bother doing anything? Yeah, why would they bother doing anything before that point is kind of a good point, I guess. Turnbull, for his past, reassured Brits that Australia can negotiate multiple free trade deals at one time. And indeed has done so in recent years with China, Korea, Japan, and free trade deals were negotiated simultaneously. But as one person puts it, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. But also you can also walk and step on gum at the same time too. So you've got to be careful on which. Yeah, they might not have anything to do with each other, but they can still happen at the same time. I would change that to we can walk and step on gum at the same time. So you want to be careful on those trade deals that you make, because you don't want them to kind of fall over as well, rather than Australia just going, all right, good deal, we're going to jump in on this deal because it makes more sense for us, rather than just thinking, does it really? Australia's offered to loan specialised trade negotiations to the UK, but so far the deal has not been taken up. Standing side by side in number 10, May and Turnbull have all the right noises about a post-Brexit Britain that has drawn closer to Australia. I know, Theresa, that you believe passionately that the British people can do anything, you can achieve anything, but that is your post-Brexit Britain will be a Britain with big horizons, big opportunity, free trades and open markets, as Mr. Turnbull puts it. The will is there for Australia-Britain free trade deal, but would it happen? But it's hard work. The hard work has only just begun. I would agree. I think it definitely has happened, and I think we need to play this audio one more time as kind of a reminder of all of that. As well.
We recognise that as Britain moves to completing its exit from the European Union, we stand ready to enter into a free trade agreement with the United Kingdom as soon as the UK is able to do so.
The UK and Australia are major trading partners and investors in each other's economic success. Our strong and growing trade relationship is worth close to £14 billion. We've both made clear our intention to continue to deepen our trade and investment relationship as the UK leaves the EU.
I just want to be very clear about this. We are absolutely signed up for free trade, open markets. It's the key. It has been the key to our continued run of economic success.
And yeah, again, I think it is a good a Britain Australia deal makes more than enough sense, but I think you can walk and stand on gum at the same time, because I think, you know, it is important to take time with these deals, and it kind of, you don't want it to turn bad at any point in the process, because again, it's hard to revert these sort of things, and they move at snail's pace, and yeah, it's complicated. What is it good for? One would never know. As we continue on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, I don't want that to play because I say so and I produce this show. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. We're heading in to the final segment of the show. And the next story is Luke Williams, My Strange Time in Drug Rehab news story. So we'll tell you more about that as it comes to light. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:51. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. I do apologize for the weird faces, but boy, have we had fun. You know, we've really had fun here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, you know what? We're not doing that story I told you about, because I say we're not, and I don't know how that story got into the show notes, and it's kind of a bit of a bad one. But instead, what we're talking about instead is a political conference was on over the weekend, and we're gonna tear that apart for a couple of minutes here, because why not? And because, well, it's not my intention to draw things down, but hey, you know, because it happens, you know, why not? It really happens. So one thing that came out of this political conference was the discussion in and around female pedestrian light crossings. Hey, that person from the first hour won't like this. no, they're not. They're not lesbian photos. So they're that's all right. And it's not in film. So there you go. But in March, road authorities in Victoria has approved a 12-month trial of 10 female pedestrian symbols at an intersection of Flinders and Swanson Streets. Vic Roads Director of Metro Projects, Brendan Powells, said he was influenced by this 8-year-old daughter asking, why are all the symbol crossings men? Aww. That is true. I think I remember covering this story on this show. To me, that was a good enough reason to support it, he says. It comes down to why not? We're happy to support it and give the technical expertise to work on the legalities. It's changing the picture. It did, however, vote down another motion arguing the privatisation of the ABC along with a bid to follow Trump's lead and limit immigration from countries with Sharia law. The final day of a three-day conference on Sunday heard from the party's state leader who will take his opposition team to an election widely tipped to be called this year. In the 25-minute speech reported by the Courier Mail, outlined new policies including a new lockup terror in 28 days without charge, plans for an anti-bullying to replace the Safe Schools program. It followed an address by Mr. Turnbull yesterday in which he mounted a defense of coal-powered electricity. For those who say coal and other fossil fuels have no future, are delusional and they fly in the face of all of the economic forecasts. You know, I say, it's kind of strange. Other pressing issues that have come up is mainly Victorian issues, and which is strange because Victorian issues came up. However, the conference was held in Brisbane, so I don't quite understand how that quite worked. But anyway, it covered a motion to ban girls under 10 wearing the Muslim head coverings at school. Also voted down the female pedestrian lights, which is strange. Actually, didn't vote them down, just didn't think that they were necessary, unquote. I'm a little editorializing here, but not terribly much. So there you go. And it's all a part of this conference. You say that, but Trump has really inspired these people to do some crazy things. I say. Anyway, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's a busy time here at GL. Excuse me. Wow. Burp Central. Clipping that one out now to get to the burp hiccup mishap collection, because why not? A busy time here at the Generic Live Show headquarters. We have 42 days until I go stateside, and I will be more than likely going to Dragon Con, it's very exciting. I'm very, very excited, and I'm nervous, and I'm excited, and I can't wait. But a ton of work I need to do before then, and I was saying in the pre-show that a ton of work has been done, but a ton more has to be done. But zero more has to be done on this show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. I have been and will continue to be Dale Campbell. This is the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.